Good morning. Today is Tuesday, 25th of January. Joining us this morning, he didn't send a substitute because he got up on time. Merritt Perry. Good morning.
Glad to be here. I feel like I was just here yesterday.
Really? You that old?
I think it's getting there.
Okay. Are you ready for your why do we say that? This is from the great outdoors.
Okay. Have a shot at it then.
Being the sport fan that you are, why do we say bush leagues?
Got me.
Okay.
Got me. I got.
I think this is a fine example of catch and release. Oh, any sparsely settled area, aside from a desert, is likely to abound in bushes and trees. Not simply in modern times, but for many centuries, urban dwellers have been prone to look down their noses at bush country, or flyover country, perhaps. Small cities located in such regions cannot pay the freight in order to have a Major League Baseball team. A minor confederation is the best that such a place can afford. Spreading from baseball talk, even if located in the heart of Manhattan, a small enterprise is likely to be disparaged as Bush League.
All right. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I mean, you could have gotten that.
I could have reached at it. It wouldn't have been pretty.
You know, and I don't think of pretty when I think of you either.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Here we go.
You keep setting them up like that. It's kind of like doing a monologue. Oh, my. So here we are, another dry January, huh?
Yeah.
You taking advantage of it?
Yeah, should we be? Yeah. Get out. The rivers are all in good shape. It's really nice to see. And, you know, it's T-shirt weather. I mean, that's a great combination.
Not for January, though.
You start getting scared once you don't see rain. We usually see a gap for a little while, so the gap's nice, but the extended drought cycle is very scary.
Well, and it's supposed to be about 35.
It's supposed to be cold.
The wind out of Alaska.
It's not supposed to be 70 in the afternoon.
No. So you took a tan break yesterday, too?
Just on the weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good move.
Yeah.
Don't want to see that much bear skin around City Hall.
No.
Now, you guys were going to be doing a little remodeling at City Hall, weren't you?
Well, we have a project for our police facility, and so we're hoping to get the building permit for that this spring and then go to construction, which you tell me.
Do you give yourself your own building permit?
Yes, we do. So we actually do a full review. Our building official still does a full review of the plans. On some projects, if we have a roadway project or something like that, we develop it, and so we'd have a review by the building official during the project development process, so we wouldn't necessarily need it at the end, like submit the whole thing when you're done. That'd be part of the internal review during it. But for something like this, where we're talking about a new facility or remodeling existing building for a new purpose, certainly the building official will take a good look at that, and we'll actually obtain a
building
permit.
Do they get to be involved in plan design too? Why not? You can save yourself a couple of steps here if you can.
Yeah. No, building officials typically work in more of a review capacity. Although our building official, Gary Goad, he does give people suggestions. And he sees a lot of plans and a lot of ways for doing things. And so I think a lot of times he does offer people suggestions of how they could maybe do things more efficiently or just different ideas. I think he enjoys doing that. But typically they're just in a review process.
That would mean he'd have to come out of his cave.
He likes coming out of his cave. It's getting him back in there. That's the problem.
Yeah. Kind of like a cork with a wine bottle, huh?
Yeah.
He's just having a tough go. Do you know what you're going to use the extra space at City Hall for?
Well, what we're hoping to do, so right now half City Hall is administration, city manager, planning and building. And so my hope is when we move the police over to the new facility at the intersection of Newburgh and Ronerville, that we can use that space like for community development. So community development, engineering. So when right now our engineering department and public works is down at the wastewater treatment plant. So if somebody came in and they wanted to discuss their plan review, it's not convenient. It's a closed facility because there's hazardous, you know, chemicals, air, chlorine, things like that. So it'd be nice to have the development review folks all in one place and available to our developers. More and more things are being done online. One of the things that we're switching to right now is the council at our last meeting approved some new building software. So people will be able to submit easier electronically. They'll be able to pay their building fees electronically. They'll be able to, you know, look at the comments and track their project. And, you know, some of the other cities in the county already have that going, but we're a little late. I mean, smaller city, it's not quite as critical, but we see, you know, we see pretty big development numbers. So it'll be nice to have that done. I think more and more people are expecting to be able to do those things online.
Well, and as more outside interest occurs.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if they're submitting, you know, it's easier for them to be able to do it on their computer rather than phone calls or having a local rep.
Right. And there's some more prominent or larger local developers where right now they'll have six or more building permits going with us for new residential homes, and for them to be able to submit those and not have to move paper back and forth and come down and pay fees, it really is a time saver.
Say that again. There's six different developments that are going on right
now. One developer, I think, that works in the city has over six building active building permits, maybe more. That might be low.
In January.
Yeah, I mean they've been.
It's got to be kind of cool to say.
Yeah, well,
there's
some subdivisions that were done some time ago, and you know the market. I don't think, the market's improved, and so now is a great time to have new homes for sale. So they've been submitting multiple permits at a time, and they're building a lot of homes.
Normal levels of activity are returning?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You see a whole neighborhood just start to unfold in, you know, a year and a half, 2 years, a lot of homes being built.
So. One of the challenges, and certainly I'm more familiar with Eureka than Fortuna, is traffic circulation.
Yeah.
So you drop in six houses. Okay, let's see, that's 10 vehicles.
Yeah.
Okay, times two or three. Are the roadways available to handle it, or are some of these going to start to become choke points that haven't been historically?
Typically, the time that you look at that is when the subdivision is being completed. That's when you do the environmental document and you anticipate what infrastructure is needed, whether it's water, sewer, or even road capacity. So, you know, in an example like the area I'm talking about around Hilltop, you know, that subdivision's been done for years. So those have been addressed, the roads have been built, water and sewer there. So those things have been done for quite some time. Now it's just filling in the vacant lots with homes.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. What are you pointing at me for?
Because you lie.
Oh. Winston's away, so Rod will play. We're back with Merritt Perry, who's enjoying this far too much.
It's good to see you.
Maybe we need to start streaming this thing, too.
I feel like a little
video with the stuff on the website.
I think some people would want to watch that, but the others might not.
Yeah. The tune out factor is probably pretty yeah. significant. You're right.
What do they say? Some people tell you have a face for radio.
Yeah. That's. I think that one's on my birth certificate. and a voice for talk.
Right.
Not for singing. Yeah. The weather right now. Yeah. A lot of times you're worried about overflow, stormwater, blah blah blah, that kind of stuff. This is not the construction season, but because the weather has been as it is, are there small little projects the troops have been able to punch out that might otherwise have had to wait till May?
Yeah, so one of the projects that we do annually is we put out a on-call paving contract. So there's a lot of little spots. So one of the areas.
Not potholes.
Not potholes. You know, we'll take a section. You know, again, paving funds are hard to come by. We cobble those together, and we do receive some funding from SB1, and then also we use some of our Measure E transaction and use tax. So We recently did one at the intersection of Kenwood and Ronerville Road, and then another one on Ronerville Road in the area of Newburgh Park, and try to pick out those areas that have pretty high traffic and a lot of use, and they're also falling apart. I mean, we'd love to go through and do an entire roadway, but a lot of times we can pick out those bad sections and then build out from there.
Do you do any street painting this time of the year?
Like striping?
Crosswalks, striping, things like that?
Not as much. We have an annual on-call striping contract that we do too, and typically we'll try to plan that after we do our striping, but the striping company will come in and they'll stripe those after they get done. So we just stripe the roadway that we paved 2 weeks ago.
Do it by hand?
They use a truck, and then for some of the they'll use stencils and handwork for some of the markings or words and lettering.
Do you like the new crosswalk painting? I think that's
the
so
ladder
cool.
style.
Yeah, because then you're only talking about replacing one or two instead of
where
the
wheel track is.
Yeah, the whole stripe.
And
yeah.
And it looks like the Beatles album, so you get all that, right?
Wow.
Yeah, there we go. Rod has it.
Yeah.
So anyway, no, I do like them for that reason. And it's interesting. You see some areas, they try to space them to plan where that wheel track is so they don't even have to replace those bars.
Oh. Well, how much does it cost for road paint? I mean, is that a significant item?
You know, it depends what you're talking about, the markings or the stripe. I forgot what it is.
For something like that, to save two stripes.
Right. It's just the time to get out there again. That's the main thing, is you don't want to get out to the same intersection over and over. When you go out to stripe a road, you want to redo it all at one time and not keep going out fixing crosswalks. But certainly we do when they start getting bad and they're not as visible.
Are there any plans at all for the tables or
speed tables or speed bumps?
Any of those types of things? Because you got there are a couple of landing strip opportunities in the city now that could be used for those little heavy-footed individuals.
It's interesting. You know, a lot of people in the neighborhood where they live would love to have them, but everybody driving through does not want them. And then the fire department doesn't necessarily like them.
Yeah, they're not big
either,
fans,
so
typically.
We are really careful about where we put them, and, you know, if there's not other measures that can be put in place. And, you know, the only example that I can think of where we placed them recently was near Toddy Thomas School. There's a long straight section that goes
schools are a whole different level.
So around schools is really where our limit has been, and they've helped. You know, people are going really fast on a residential road, and so that really helped in that situation. But we try not to put them in, and unless there's a very compelling need and there's not another measure that can be taken.
Can you put those little bump things? A series of
rumble strips, like on the edge of the highway, or
no. What I'm thinking is, you know, they've got those mats that are on the corners that have got the small circles.
Truncated domes. Yeah, those would.
Yeah, those things.
Those would probably wear out, I think.
But there are also larger ones that are made of a different product. To have a couple of those, it's not going to screw up your fire trucks.
So, would you want to hear that outside your house when people are driving by?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well,
we will. No question about it.
I'll talk to the county. I know where.
City or the county. Either property. Yeah. No, right now we got people going 45, some.
But
50,
then they'll be going 45,
going
and you'll
30.
You'll hear a buzz.
Yeah.
But then you'll know they're going by fast.
Yeah. I want to put a camera out in front.
Yeah.
And just capture. You know, triggered by those over 40 in a 30.
Yeah, it's interesting the different things you can do. You know, bringing in visual friction, right? That's an interesting mashup. So
friction.
Can you narrow the roadway? Can you put some bulb outs in landscaping? When it's wide open and straight, people feel like it's safe and they should be driving that fast.
Well, they tried that on Booner Hill. That didn't work out really well.
Yeah.
You know, both sides painted. And Park Street here, too. You see it, or Myrtle. I mean, I know it's a pretty common use technique, but
sometimes you need more than just one thing, and it takes time for people, and you have to.
You know what I found most effective?
What's that?
An empty squad car.
Yeah, those work pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, those are seem to be the universal ones that get most people's attention.
We probably have one parts one that we could donate. So when you
put it on a block. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
right. It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Fortuna City Manager Merritt Perry. Oh, I was doing that with something else. I've been having a tough time with words. I had
good.
Linda Weiss was with us yesterday, and she had to pronounce ombudsman. Hey, I almost got it out, huh? Almost smooth, yeah. I mean, just...
You might have to retire. This is like a necessary skill for a guy like you.
No, I just got to stay away from syllables of more than three.
Okay.
I'm okay.
That's safe. Beyond the preschool hour.
Yeah. Keep it below third grade, and I'm right there, baby. Oh. What is the biggest surprise people are going to find out about in Fortuna this coming year? What do you think is going to be the... Either this is cool or where'd this come from? What do you think that one's going to be?
Mill site development.
Actual seeing something happening.
I think so. Yeah, there's a developer who has a plan that they're working on the environmental document. So very soon that information should become public when it goes to the Planning Commission and Council for Conditional Use Permit.
Yeah. Comes out from behind the curtains?
Yeah, there's really two things that are happening right now, and I think I may have talked about this before on your show, but, you know, forever the properties...
Our show.
On our show, we may have had the pleasure of discussing this once before. But, you know, forever there's really been no planning effort in the city's general plan. They, you know, it's zoned for industrial and it's designated for mixed use, which aren't the same thing. So there really wasn't...
So how did that happen? Just inertia?
The council couldn't decide what they wanted to do in 2010 when they put the general plan together. I don't think there was a good vision.
So let's just make it a little bit of everything?
Well, right. And then it's, you know, you can't do both, right? So they're not the same thing.
Seem to be mutually exclusive, yeah.
Right. So they're in conflict. So what we're, you know, so nothing was happening. One of the things we did recently is we applied for a Headwaters grant to assist with some of the funding to do a specific plan for the mill site. So the specific plan is like a general plan for a sub area of a city. So really looking at what could this be, what could the planning and zoning be for this area of the mill site. It's about 75 acres. And, you know, where would the road network go? Where would the access be? Looking closer at the impacts and different potential land uses to see what would fit well.
Well, wasn't that the old trigger around where the railroad comes in? At Clendenin's and now...
Yeah. So there was a spur track that came into the site. It's where the mill was. But, you know, so nothing... You know, the property... Typically, a big property owner like that would start the planning effort themselves. They'd say, hey, this is what I want to do, and they want to pursue a project. So there's been some things that have come in the past, some big box options, and those didn't really go anywhere. Probably won't happen again. But there's been no, you know, desire of the property owner to really put the effort into planning. Same owner of... It's Town of Scotia, and they have a pretty big effort that they're undertaking in Town of Scotia.
Yeah. So yeah, they're staying busy.
So we've been kind of inching along, and we decided that let's look at doing a specific plan so we can really identify how this land would be best developed and integrated in the city. And I knew as soon as we started that process, somebody would come in with a development proposal. So
should have done it 5 years ago.
So that's why we started the specific plan. Yeah. So now we've got somebody that's brought in a development proposal that's working its way through the system and will be up for public review sometime in the near future.
So you said 75 acres.
Yeah.
Is this a 75-acre project, or is this
no,
taking a nibble
of part of it?
It's
a portion of it, probably. A third. And
well, one of the things that we have seen over the decades is that when you get a certain business in, boom, all of a sudden others are there. You know, they talk about when a Walmart comes to town,
right?
And all of a sudden all the properties adjacent to Walmart get bought up, bang, and some are competitive and some are complementary. Is this one of those trigger developments, or is this something that's, it'll be there, it'll be a factor, but Not necessarily.
I'll say maybe. It's not a retail proposal. You know, when you have a big retail establishment, a lot of times those will draw others. So what we're looking at...
So let's cap the Olive Garden rumor right now, not worry about that.
Not Olive Garden.
All right. Okay.
So really what we want to do, the public really hasn't had a chance to say what they want to say and, you know, what they want to see on that property and how it could be developed. So with the specific plan, we'll come up with three options. One that includes the current development proposal and then really focus on how can we define the land use on the rest of the site. And then what happens if these guys decide, you know what, it's not the right place, it's too much of an investment. So we'll have one that doesn't include the current development proposal. And so we'll have three scenarios. And then one of the...
So that doesn't open the door for the naysayers?
Well, what happens if they leave on their own? And then we develop then three options that
deal
are
with
all...
It, deal with it at that point.
Right.
Why put it forward and say, you know, you really don't like this sandwich that I gave you, right?
Right.
I mean, you really don't like it, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, if they don't like it, they're going to say something. If they're not there, then you deal with it.
Well, what happens is you end up in a take it or leave it position when you have a development option. So it's nice for the city to have a say of, hey, we want this or we don't want this. My guess is the city would take a bird in hand. I think the city wants to see development on that site in something that could be complementary to the city. So really we'll leave that up to the planning commission and the council through the environmental document, the conditional use permit. And, you know, I think that'll be something for the public to weigh in on. And, you know, if for some reason, you know, they don't support that, which I'd be surprised if they don't, then there will be some other options. But, you know, I think it's I think it, you know, it's tough for a site that's sat vacant for decades to, you know, turn something away when, you know, I think the important piece will be how can the entirety of the site be used. And so we'll be working with a consultant using our Headwaters grant to develop three different scenarios, to have public meetings to talk about those and to get input. And I think it'll be great to have that community dialogue. But right now we're going in parallel with this development project. So it'll be tricky to see how the two move forward. And, you know, we're trying to make sure that we have one option that is complementary to the proposed development. And then others in case for some reason it does disappear or they withdraw.
Any fear that because the property hasn't been used for so long and there's been enough change in the neighborhood that anything is going to deal with the nothing is the best option?
I don't think that's really the case here. When you have 75 acres, most of it's paved over, it's kind of...
But there's no traffic.
There's no traffic. You know, so one of the things coming in, really it's going to be a new project. So they have to analyze for things like noise and how much traffic is it going to put at our intersections? You know, is there any biological impacts that you could have or special species, protected species? So it's a comprehensive look at potential impacts from that. And any new development will have to take into account the condition of it. There's nothing there now, even though it was a mill at one point. That's not the existing condition. And so it'll be evaluated against the baseline of nothing being there.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with four airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on AHA, American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Reno, and Las Vegas. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, cast of characters. It's 8:46. We're back with Merritt Berry. Yeah, sometimes I feel like I never got out of nursery school.
It's good. At least your dialect and your word choice is
going
back, regressing.
Consistent. There we go. All right, we're there. So you said development on the mill site would be one. I said what two things? So nice diversionary attack.
Okay.
And
you
attempt.
Want a second one? What big is surprises?
The, yeah. Or pleasant. You know, something that will be yeah.
We closed escrow on 8 acres next to Newburgh Park, and so we're going to get to start developing that and integrating that into the park. So our hope there is to have some regulation soccer fields, a skate park, and, you know, right, and having ownership of that property will allow us to pursue grants because we're no longer stuck in the acquisition phase. So we closed a couple weeks ago, And I think initially we'll probably do some fencing. We'll need to develop, we will develop a parking area and walkways so people can access it.
And then also,
right, and safe. Yep. And then also start developing some, initially we'll have it as open space and I think some trails to, you know, get people to be able to walk around it and really expand upon what the McLean Foundation and Eel River Valley Community Foundation has done. So, you know, to have an expanded trail network, a lot of people are using those trails. So it'd be nice to allow that throughput, thoroughfare and connection and people to be able to walk along Strong's Creek and then ultimately really set that up for development for competition soccer fields. We don't have enough of those type of facilities right now for
youth sports. So competition, does that mean natural or artificial turf that's an all-weather turf?
We looked into artificial turf and those don't last forever, right? So you build them at whatever the cost is, a couple million bucks, and then you're redoing it in 10 years. And
does it pencil out, though?
You'd
have TOT and sales tax. Those are about the only ways you could recapture.
It's tough. So I think we're going to start with natural fields. That's what our crews are used to maintaining. You know, we'd love to have all weather fields, but I don't know right now if the community has the money for that investment. So,
well, think of summer as a regional attraction. Not in July.
It would be great. It would be great.
I would think that there would be a huge demand.
Well, and just
to get out of the valley.
Yeah, I think just the cost and the ability to host tournaments would be great for a lot of reasons. You know, have people come and stay and eat, then you get to, you know, have a great spot for youth sports. And I think having all weather fields, even if you have a natural field with good drainage, I think it would be a lot better than what we have now. So yeah. I think there's a big demand. Youth soccer's pretty strong. And so we have a lot of baseball and softball fields already. So I think it would be a nice compliment. I know that the Fortuna Skate Park Group has been doing fundraising, so we're hopeful that we could get a grant and have a nice spot for them. So that'll be fun.
And 8 acres is enough space to be able to pull that off comfortably.
Yes. Yeah, and we have a concept plan that we put there, and we applied for an $8 million grant. We were not successful. But so we have a concept. Since that concept was done, the pump track at the old bike park, which was kind of gravel and steep and not so forgiving, was replaced. We had a great volunteer effort, not a city project, but Curtis Seeley from Wallen Construction and Stephen Pearl with also Wallen, but also with the Redwood Coast Mountain Biking Association. They really put together a volunteer effort and reshaped and paved it. And
it's kind of cool when that happens.
It's one of our most used facilities. I mean, there's kids out there all the time when school's not in session, really busy. So we assumed it when we did our last concept that bike park would be gone, because it really just wasn't getting used, but now it's one of our most popular features. So we're in the process of retooling that concept to make sure that we could still fit in the soccer fields, a skate park, a parking area, you know, playground, maybe bathroom. So we're now that we own the property, we're going to spend some measuring money to look at, you know, just updating our concept plan and then figuring out how we can still accomplish all those things in the last concept, for which there was a quite a bit of public involvement.
Now, you didn't say anything about the Riverwalk area.
So last time I came here, it was a bit questionable, but I think we've gone from red light to green light on that one. So we are moving forward. I expect that we'll be moving forward with that project. We have a concept for that. We just need to get into escrow and move forward. And so right now that's looking promising.
So that could be next year.
That could be next
rather
year.
Rather than this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still excited, and I'll put this out as a plug too. I would love to see a riverfront restaurant on the River Ranch subdivision. There's some lots there, and the property owner's prime. The city is key to support
Wouldn't that be kind of a kick in the pants to have that as a food district? And you've got a couple now that are nice outlets, and you get five or six others. And
there's vacant lots and easy on and off the freeway. It's a nice spot where you can look at the river and go on a walk. There will be a park there.
View and parking. So, I mean, what more do you need, right?
Yeah. So I think in time, you know, we'll find a way to do some more planning down in the Riverwalk area and see how we can really make that serve the community and the traveling public and hopefully generate some sales tax.
Maximize the opportunity,
tax.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I just underutilized potential right now.
Thanks for coming by. It wasn't that bad. Once we got past those big words, things kind of flowed.
Yeah. keep it simple.
Yeah, you betcha. See you tomorrow. Man.